Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
What the president did, he should have worked on this years ago. If he felt seriously about this, he should have taken action when he had a Democrat House and Senate. But he didn't. He saves these sort of things until 4.5 months before the general election.
Well, why do you think he did that?
Well, I think the timing is pretty clear. If he really wanted to make a solution that dealt with these kids or with illegal immigration in America, then this is something he would have taken up in his first 3.5 years, not in his last few months.
Well, I rest my case. He didn't even say he'd repeal it. He didn't even say he'd repeal it. So where do we go from here? You know where what I feel about Romney right now. I feel that he's basically squandered any chance he may have had to win the conservative vote. You say, oh, come on, they're still going to vote for him. They have nowhere to go. They're not going to vote for Obama. You're wrong. It's a repeat of the McCain strategy, which did not work. It's a repeat of the same team that destroyed McCain's chances by telling McCain to appeal to Hispanic, not Republican. And the fact of the matter is, it didn't work then, and it won't work now. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. Now, the bigger news is not what the clowns in America are doing to get elected. The bigger news is that in the Middle East, you have Russia, China, and Iran staging in Syria the biggest Mideast maneuver in history. Do you know how big it is? The biggest of its kind ever staged in the Middle East, Mr. Obama, with 90,000 soldiers and airmen and Marines, 400 airplanes, Mr. Obama and Mr. Panetta, and 900 tanks taking part. As part of its preparations, China is reported to have asked Egyptian authorities to permit the passage through the Suez Canal in late June of 12 naval ships heading for the Syrian port of Tartus, where Moscow maintains a naval and marine base. Now, what do you have to say about this, all you liberal Democrats who think Obama's a great commander-in-chief? What do you think about this? This is the same Obama who killed at least 22 Navy SEALs by putting them aboard an old, slow-flying helicopter for which there should have been an immediate congressional investigation. There hasn't been. Russia, China, and Iran have now been joined together because of Obama's weakness and incompetence. In fact, they're laughing at him behind his back. This is very worrisome. And the reason for this joint Russian-Chinese-Iranian exercise at sea, air, and land is in order to quell any U.S. thoughts about sending U.S. troops into this area. There's nothing you can say about it because we don't know if it's going to happen. But the fact of the matter is something's wrong with this picture. Here's another article. Romney caves on China. Now Kissinger's going to endorse him. If you read the article carefully that I posted on Michael Savage, you'll see that there's going to be a fundraiser at a Trump property in Connecticut where none other than Henry Kissinger, old Hank, whose chief job is lobbying on behalf of China, and old Hank Kissinger would not endorse Romney until Romney, behind the scenes, agreed not to seek tariffs on Chinese goods. Do you have any idea what I'm saying to you? Do you have any idea what I am saying to you about this Republican Party today? How many different ways do I have to say to you, we had them already? We had them for 8 years. They're a corrupt gang. Yes, I know you don't want to hear it. You're saying, I can't believe Michael Savage is saying that. Why, that's going to help Obama get elected. You're wrong. It might help the Republicans get their act together. That's what it might help them do. On a non-related story, there's a picture of Romney with Kid Rock. I rest my case. Romney and Kid Rock. See, wherever there's not a conservative, there's Romney. Wherever non-conservatives go, there's Romney. NAACP, there's Romney. Hispanic Association, there's Romney. Rock and Rollers, there's Romney. So wherever there's no conservatives, that's where he is. That's all there is to it. By the way, one other question for you Obama's slavish worshippers. Why is Obama delaying the trial of the Fort Hood massacre killer? Why? He faces the death penalty if convicted, Hassan. Why has Obama told the military to delay the trial of Hassan? Well, you have to figure that one out. I don't think it's too hard to figure out. It's an election year, and he doesn't want any embarrassment. 1-800-449. Geriatric Rolling Stones refuse to retire. It's another article I posted. The band's four members have a combined age of 272 years, which, as far as I can tell, is older than Woody Allen. Geriatric Rolling Stones refuse to retire. You say you want a revolution. There's a related story about loneliness and the aged. Where is that story? Loneliness lethal for seniors, study says. Feeling lonely always hurts. But when it comes to the elderly, it may actually contribute to failing health or an early death. University of California researchers say, blah, blah, blah. So now they're going to medicate loneliness, I suppose. Now the psychotics in the American Psychiatric Association will declare loneliness a mental illness that needs to be medicated. Or maybe they could blame society for not providing entertainment for senior citizens. I think loneliness is part of the human condition. In fact, I think a healthy child learns how to deal with loneliness very early on. Because you're born alone and you die alone. If you're lucky, you make one or two friends in your entire life. That's if you're lucky. No, loneliness, while is certainly not to be desired, is something you have to learn to live with. Loneliness is like hunger, in my opinion. Occasionally, you fill it with a meal. This is the Savage Nation. We're open for business. You know the phone number, 1-800-449-8255. If you're excited by any of these topics, then you're a more, let us say, depressing person than even I thought you could be. Why would you be excited by any of the things I have just said? I admit that being a shock jock, which is all I am, I mean, at the end of the day, although I have a genuine PhD and two real master's degrees from great universities, and I've published something like near 30 books, you should never take a man like me seriously, because men in radio are only shock jocks. The really serious journalists are on MSNBC, Fox News. In fact, those without any degrees at all are better journalists, in that they can repeat the party line without even knowing how stupid they sound. Take a look at, well, I don't have to go down the list. You know who the veterans are on television. And they're the real journalists. They're the real important link between you and the government that wants to take over your life. There's Obama bowing down to the Mexican president. Again, bowing. Everywhere you look, there he is bowing again. Now he's bowing to the Mexican president. How is this possible? Mexican President Felipe Calderon welcomes U.S. President Barack Obama to the opening of the G20 Leaders Summit in Los Cabos, Baja California. And there he is bowing to him. Why is Obama bowing to the Mexican president? Anyone have an answer to that one? Why is Obama seeking deeper cuts in the nuclear arsenal than he's already achieved? Why? Why is he trying to make us powerless completely? And why isn't he impeached? Damn it! You want me to start screaming and yelling till you wake up out of your drugged stupor? The man is a naked Marxist. He hates America. He hates the power of this nation. He has done everything he can in as short a period as he possibly can to destroy the military, destroyed NASA, and now he's working on destroying it even further. President Obama has decided to seek deeper cuts and deployed strategic nuclear weapons to as few as 1,000 warheads, below the target of 1,550 warheads required under a 2010 U.S.-Russia arms treaty. Why is he now wanting to go beyond what Russia demanded? Because he's more radical than Putin. Obama is a bigger enemy to our national security than Putin is. Do you understand this? How does he not get impeached? Answer, I'll play you a Romney clip, and you'll know how nothing happens to stop this dictator. I'll be right back.
Savage.
See, what you don't understand is that we have a man in the White House who is equipped to be the president of a university where blind ideology dictates his every decision. And we accept it at a university because there are no consequences. They brainwash the students. But who do they really hurt? And so Obama is a classic blind ideologue of the type you would find at Harvard, Yale, or Princeton. He has no capacity for strategic analysis, whether it has to do with the economy or U.S. defense needs. And if this man wins a second term, we will be stripped naked on the world stage with regard to national security. The man, remember what he said. Remember what this blind ideologue from Harvard said. In 2009, Obama said in Prague, Czechoslovakia, that the United States should eliminate all nuclear weapons. This is an old cry from the wobblies on the universities. You know, get rid of all nukes. We don't need nukes. Let's get rid of nukes. So they elect this blind ideologue, Obama, who has no conception of what he is actually doing. He simply panders to the hysterical left that he listens to on a daily basis, whether it has to do with building debt or diminishing our military's capacity. So now he wants to reduce the warheads that we have below that which Russia has and below that which Russia told us we could have in their last treaty. The man is unilaterally disarming the United States of America. And this is at a time that China is building its nuclear arsenal. This is at a time that North Korea is building up its nuclear forces. This is at a time that Iran is developing nuclear arsenals. We have an enemy within unlike any, and it's right in front of your eyes, damn it! How many different ways does this humble talk show host have to tell you that you have a gang that's taken over the country? You have a gang that's leaking to the newspapers, undermining the military. You have a gang that's running guns to Mexico and getting away with it. You have a gang disarming the military. You have a gang printing money like in the Weimar Republic. And you sit there like a big jerk. And you say that he's a wonderful man and a great president and he needs to be reelected. And what do we have on the other side? What do we have on the other side? We have a man who should be saying what I'm saying. We have a man who should be screaming from a rooftop every chance he gets about this blind ideologue, Barack Hussein Obama, and the gang he surrounded himself with of these left-wing fanatics who are destroying this country. But you don't hear that from him. Instead, you hear mumbling from Romney. All you hear is Hamney mumbling. Hamney, 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 wherever you go. The ham hock. Well, Mr. Obama shouldn't blah, blah, blah. I'll wage a bet with you that a goodly percentage of those who can vote never heard of Romney. They don't even know who he is. They have no idea who the Republican candidate is. They never heard of the man. He's invisible. He's the nowhere man. He's the hollow man. I don't understand how to explain this to you. Unless he stops this, he's finished. And we're going to lose the nation completely in a second term. Do you agree with me that Romney has just lost the election because he says nothing about the granting of amnesty to at least 1 million illegal aliens? Let me tell you something. Before you answer that question, here's my opinion. I have studied this issue since I began a radio in 1994. There is not a bigger issue to the average conservative voter than the illegal immigration problem. And even Democrats, by the way, in California are roundly, or let's say by a great majority, opposed to granting any sort of amnesty to illegal aliens, because even Democrats understand that they've run through California like a horde, like locusts. They've stripped the schools, they've stripped the hospitals, they've stripped the entire social welfare state. So liberals are in a panic in California over the number of illegal aliens. And so now you have a chance for Romney to define himself as the anti-illegal immigration candidate. I didn't say anti-immigration. That's a whole separate question. In other words, do we still need immigration with such unemployment? That's a debatable question. You say, well, we don't have the skills necessary. We don't have the bodies necessary to pick the lettuce and to clean the beds in hotels. Well, that's all true. But that's because we have too generous a welfare state. You see, if I were in charge, I would run a gigantic education program with trade skills. That's number one. I would take everybody off welfare who was able-bodied. Nobody would ever get a check in this country if they were able-bodied. I'd make them go to work. I wouldn't care whether they wanted to go to work. You don't go and you don't pick those vegetables for the same wage that we're paying the illegal alien. You're not going to get a welfare check from us. We don't care what you do. There are millions of deadbeats sitting around in this country doing nothing. Never mind not paying taxes. They don't work. They're just lazy, good-for-nothing bums. And no household can survive when you have 50% of a household not working and only 50% of it, let's say, working and 50% not working. Let alone a household where there's one provider in this day and age and three or four leeches sitting around doing nothing. It's the same on a national basis. So don't tell me we don't have the manpower. We do. Now, what about the skill set? We keep hearing we need more people from Taiwan and Indonesia and from China. Yeah, China to go into Bill Gates' enterprises, to work at Microsoft-like companies, to man Silicon Valley. Is that because Americans are too stupid to do those jobs? No, we don't need more B-1B visas. What we need to do is train more Americans to do those jobs in our schools. You have to massively cut out these waste-of-time programs. Get rid of them. No bilingual education, period. Cut it out. You're in America, learn English. If you don't want to learn English, then leave school. I don't care. We're not wasting any more money on bilingual education. I could go down the list. I'm a very skilled educator. Believe me, I could clean this country up in about 6 months. You give me the problem, and I'll give you the solution. Now I'll take your calls. Cameron, New York, WOR, go ahead, please.
You're exactly right, Mike. If he ever had a shot at this election, and I don't think he did ever have a shot, but he lost it on this silence on the executive order for criminal aliens.
Oh, they're not criminal aliens. In fact, it's the opposite. It's youth who are not criminals. Youth who are brought here as young babies because they're all patriotic and talented. According to Obama, all million illegal aliens that he granted amnesty to are patriotic let's say talented. He knows that personally. He's interviewed all million of them.
But in your comment about changing the schools, what you would do, and that's why we'd like to see you or somebody like you as a nominee, we could get behind.
Are you kidding? I wouldn't last 1 second if I ran for office. The two machines would run me over with a roller coaster. The only person who could ever get to the top of the heap is a nowhere man like Romney, a nowhere man who stands for nothing, says nothing, and will do nothing differently than Obama. A nowhere man, a hollow man.
Savage.
Well, here we are. We have the most radical president in American history, a diehard ideologue. His mind is just monodimensional. He has a radical ideology. The type that I heard in the universities in the 1960s, he's now running the country. He has blind ideology, as I said, with no capacity for analyzing what his ideology leads to, whether it be the economy, where he keeps printing money, or cutting the military, rendering us almost incapable of defending ourselves if he keeps it up. If you take a trajectory of what Obama is doing to the nuclear arsenal and to the military, we will be defenseless. We'll be like Denmark in 5 years if this man is not stopped. So you say, well, okay, that's what an opposition party is supposed to point out. They're supposed to say you have a clear opponent here. I'm Mitt Romney. Obama's doing this to the military. I'll do that. Obama's done this to NASA. I'll restore NASA. Obama's printing money. I'll stop the printing of money. I'll cut departments by 20%. Obama is catering to China by letting them dump their products on our shore. I will impose a tariff of 20% on every piece of merchandise sent by China, whether they like it or not. I can guarantee you, if he said those things, he would win by 20 points. But he'll never say those things for one reason. He is a party man. Romney did not get here by being an independent thinker. Romney is a party apparatchik. And so we have a left-wing party apparatchik and a middle-of-the-road business party apparatchik. Neither of them are good for the survival of this country, in my humble opinion. And so we're stuck. We have a corrupt two-party system when we need a multiple-party system. We need a multiple parliamentary system. Our system is broken. Our system is dead as a dodo. I'd like to see right-wing parties. I'd even like to see left-wing parties. I'd like to see the arguments on all sides. I am sick and tired of two sides of the same coin. I can't take it anymore. It's as though we don't have an election at all. We have nothing but rubbish. Florida, James, you disagree. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I think it's too soon for Romney to come out dealing hard on Obama. I think he's keeping the cards close to the vest. I think that he's got to wait and attack him closer to the election. Otherwise, he's going to give them ammunition to get back at him. And that's why I think he's laying low.
So, no, wait. Let me see if I follow you. So no matter what Obama does, he says nothing. He grants amnesty to 1 million illegal aliens with the stroke of a pen, and Romney says nothing? That's your idea of leadership?
I don't think it's time for him to lead. I think he's got to wait. I think these people are so sneaky. This Obama administration is so sneaky and corrupt. He's got to wait closer to the election. The American people have short memories. He's just got to hold out.
Oh, wait, sir, that all may be true if you're just dealing with getting elected. But there's no opposition party right now. There's no opposition statement at all. So where do we, the people, go who know that he's doing the wrong thing in granting amnesty with the stroke of a pen? Congress voted against the DREAM Act, and Obama overrode Congress. Where in the hell is Congress?
I agree with you. I think it's against the Constitution what he just did.
All right, so let's put Romney aside. Why are the Republicans in Congress not screaming about this? Answer. I'll give you the answer, because they're pandering to the Hispanic illegal alien citizens who are not citizens of this country. They are pandering to people who are not even allowed to vote in our elections, and they are disrespecting the patriotic, traditional, conservative voter bloc, which is a powerhouse in this country. Don't underestimate the Tea Party. It didn't disappear. Just because the Congressional Black Caucus threatened the Tea Party movement, just because the union thugs threatened the Tea Party movement, doesn't mean the Tea Parties have disappeared. There are tens of millions of members of Tea Parties in this country, and they're not going to vote for a milquetoast candidate. They will not vote for Hamney, no matter what you say. He cannot wait any longer. He has to step out from behind the party line. I think I've said all I have to say on this. I mean, otherwise I'm going to get another sore throat. And I'm not making my points. Is Romney the Manchurian nun candidate? That's what he looks like to me. Romney, the Manchurian nun candidate. Was he set up to lose? I don't know anymore, because he doesn't say anything. I don't agree he should hold his fire. I had a caller yesterday, I don't know whether he was real or not, saying he should keep his powder dry, and that's the way you fight, and anyone who speaks too soon is a boy, and he tried to insult me. He was all wrong. A campaign has to be a campaign. This campaign is on now. Obama is running this campaign every day. And Romney is not running this campaign. He's running from the campaign. I don't care how many bus rides he takes. He's saying nothing. He could stay home and get a microphone with an ISD line and say more than he is on all these bus rides and all of these campaign stops. All he's got to do is hook up a microphone and say the things that need to be said to stop the juggernaut of these communists who are destroying this country in plain and simple English. And roll them back. Roll back these naked ideologues. Roll them back with common sense and the plain truth, and he will win. He could stop the bus rides. He could stop the visits to the TV studios. He could even stop the ads. Just get a microphone and speak the common truth and speak logic, and you will win, Mr. Romney, but you don't even hear me. You and your sons are so out of touch with reality. You think the conservatives are owned by you. You think that you already have their votes. You think you own the conservative movement and that we have nowhere to go, Mr. Romney. You are so wrong, it's frightful to think that you want to be president. You don't own anything, Mr. Romney. And for you to keep pandering to illegal aliens and every other splinter group in this country shows how incompetent you really are as a candidate. No, my friend, you are a big city liberal, just as Gingrich said during the campaign. New York, WOR, Paul, you disagree with me. Go on, please.
You're 100% right about Obama, and you're wrong about Romney. Romney is not going to play whack-a-mole politics right now. He's looking to win an election. He's not looking to lead anyone. And if he looks to lead and says things that don't help him win, he's going to be leading a small crowd. I think what he's doing is actually very smart. He's letting others fight battles for him. A good manager, a good executive always does that.
Who's fighting the battle for him?
My understanding, there's two pending litigations going on right now dealing with the Obama amnesty executive order.
Well, there were talks about it yesterday from Congressman King said he was going to investigate whether he could bring some action against it. And then another Republican muttered something. They're doing nothing about it. Nothing whatsoever. And that is because the Republicans want the illegal alien vote, and they also want the illegal alien worker in the hotels and on the fields and farms. You know that as well as I do.
Well, I also agree with you that it would be foolish to think that they're going to gain any additional voters by doing anything to assist Obama. What I think they should do is have a straight, very religious program.
Let me explain something to you. There's a way to attack Obama on this amnesty for illegal aliens without alienating the Hispanic voter. You know what that is? What you do is you talk about the president becoming a king. You make it simple. Congress voted against this. We live in a nation of laws. We live in a nation where there are representatives. Obama is not a king, and he's got to stop acting like a dictator. That's what he's got to say. He doesn't even have to say the word Hispanic or illegal alien. He can attack Obama for being a dictator. Why doesn't he do that?
It's very therapeutic to see him, have his teeth come out every once in a while and see the claws come out. But I think he's very methodical. I think what he's trying to do, and again, maybe I'm hopefully optimistic.
Well, let me say this: that you can say anything you wish, but if you don't base it upon the facts, you're just offering wishful thinking. McCain used the very same strategy that this Republican apparatchik Romney is using. McCain tried the very call for amnesty or don't oppose amnesty. Appeal to every splinter group in the country. Go and kowtow to the NAACP after they disrespected you. And what did it get McCain?
McCain was an awful candidate. I mean, from start to finish, he was awful. Romney, at least, had some strength behind him. He's not evidencing that strength. He's not showing it. But he clearly has the faith.
All right, well, listen, let's do compare and contrast. What made McCain a bad candidate?
Well, some of the things that you're describing Romney having, which is a weakness, a desire to placate everyone, not necessarily looking at the facts and trying to come out aggressively on a conservative position.
Yeah, and also you got to understand McCain had some very powerful strengths. He was a war hero, even though he was shot down and served five horrible years in a prison camp. He was a hero, nevertheless, for what he endured, and the people loved him for that. Remember that. Romney has no such record to offer. You have to understand Romney has no military experience, while McCain did have military experience, and McCain has used that to his advantage for his entire political career. McCain had some very strong, appealing points about him. It's just that he kept pandering to the splinter groups, and he wouldn't speak to the conservative movement out there, the same thing that Romney's doing. Romney's being misdirected by the very same mentality that destroyed McCain. That's my fundamental point. It's why I'm ripping him to shreds for the last 2 days. Unless this man wakes up, he's toast, and then the country is finished. We will get this college gang, and we're done. That's all there. And there's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to move after this. There's no country to go to. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Notice that we're arguing over the election when the lead story for me is that Russia, China, and Iran are planning the biggest Middle East maneuver in history in order to counter Obama's war drums. Listen to the numbers. This is Russia coming together with China, coming together with the terrorist nation of Iran, and it includes 90,000 military personnel, 90,000, 400 aircraft, 900 tanks. It's the largest Middle East maneuver that I know of, and it's all because Obama is threatening to bring U.S. troops into Syria. Why is he threatening to bring U.S. troops into Syria? Because he's surrounded by girls, college girls, who are blind left-wing ideologues, blind ideology, no analysis of what their ideology will lead to. And they have no conception that words lead to actions which can be disastrous. Look no further than the printing of money. The biggest spender in the history of the world, they keep printing. Why? Because it's not real to them. These are ivory tower fools. None of them have ever built a business. None of them run a business. None of them know what a business is. They don't balance books. These are tenured jerks who receive checks and go on junkets around the world. Now they're running the country and they're having a ball. So whatever they do, they figure, what's the difference? There are no consequences. Let someone else worry about it. The man has wrecked our economy. Now he's out to wreck the entire world. You see, the Arab winter is an example of his mishandled foreign policy, which leads us right back to Romney. 2 weeks ago, Romney was on the right track. He used the phrase that I invented, that I created, called the Arab winter. And he said the Arab spring has turned into the Arab winter. It's a foreign policy miscalculation of Obama. He was on the right track. Then all of a sudden, Mr. Middle of the Road, Mealy Mouth, reappeared. They said, rein it in, Romney. Don't say anything against Obama. Now we find out he's caved in on tariffs against China. How do we know that? Because Kissinger, the arch villain, in my opinion, one of the most Machiavellian, behind-the-scenes individuals since Metternich, this man would not endorse Romney until Romney agreed to cave in on China and China's dumping of products on our shore. Now suddenly Machiavelli Kissinger is going to lead a fundraiser in a Trump property of all places in Connecticut for Romney, and Romney won't even be in attendance. Think about that one. Ask yourself why Romney won't even appear at the same event with Kissinger. And ask yourself who Kissinger really is. He's the chief lobbyist for China in the United States of America. Does that make him a loyal American? Does that make him a man who sees the interests of America before the interests of China? A man like Kissinger sees no interests. Interests mean nothing to him. A man like Kissinger has no country. A man like Kissinger, in my opinion, is a man without a country. The same holds, by the way, for Madeleine Halfbright, another China lobbyist. The same holds for Sandy Socks Berger, another lobbyist. These people have no loyalty to the United States of America. They are internationalists. They are cosmopolitans. They see the world as a stage upon which they simply can make money. To them, there is no American flag. There is no border. There is no language. There is no culture. Do you understand this? Well, to me, there is a border. To me, there is a language. To me, there is a culture. To me, there is a nation. And this country seems to have lost any conceptualization of what it is as a nation. Have you heard Romney define once what this country is as a nation? Have you heard him once talk about this country with any pride? All you hear is a speech that you would have heard when you were in high school. When I'm elected, things will be better. He may as well just say there'll be a chicken in every pot. We've heard all of this empty rhetoric before. It's worthless. And so I rest my case again. I've said over and over again what I need to say. Romney is not going to win unless he comes out from behind the middle of the road position where he is. I'll take your calls now on anything you'd like to talk about. Pennsylvania Lee, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael.
Yes.
Michael.
Yes.
I'm on a separate. Okay, I just want to say that you are, I've talked to other conservative talk shows. I've called them, and as soon as I reach a high point that they differ with, you know, or afraid of, they lose me, and then I turn the radio on, and they say, oh, well, we had trouble with our phone service. You know, and it makes me believe that the Republicans, these conservative talk shows that I'm calling, they're in the back.
Well, I can't speak for anyone else. I do know that everyone's looking over their shoulder these days for fear they'll lose their show or lose an advertiser, you know, or lose a station. Everyone's afraid to say anything for fear they'll lose something. It's a new world order that we're living in, and I understand that. However, I feel that I'm so far into my belief system, and I've been doing this for 18 straight years. I believe that what I'm saying is correct, and I believe that what I'm saying needs to be said, and I have to let the chips fall where they may. I don't go out of my way to offend people, but if I offend some people, isn't that the nature of talk radio? Let's back up to a bigger picture here. What is the nature of talk radio, whatever the political orientation may be? The object is to state what you believe to be true. In some cases, they don't even say what they mean, or they say it just to shock you. They're a shock jock. You can call me anything you want, but at least I tell you most of the time what I think is true. And so if it shocks or offends people, that's not my problem. You can't say anything in America today without offending half the country. So how could it not be true in a medium that is designed specifically to appeal to half the country? So therefore, I rest my case. If you speak the plain truth, you're going to offend people and you're going to win people. And that's what needs to be done. You need to speak the plain truth. And that's what I try to do. It's that simple. Pittsburgh, PA, Mike, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Okay, Mike, first point. If Romney goes after Obama to the tune of impeachment, he's going to be up against Hillary. I think he's smart enough to realize that's what's going to happen. They will put her into play. Point two, I think if he mentions anything about the Constitution, they're going to call him a Tea Party wacko. And point three, everybody who's mentioned anything negative about this president has been called a racist. I think he has...
Yeah, but wait, hold on. That doesn't mean you stop calling him like he is. The man is a petty dictator and a dangerous tyrant. So what, you're supposed to roll over because you're afraid of being called a racist by a bunch of radicals in the Congressional Black Caucus? When did they become the leaders of the country?
Absolutely not. That's what I'm not saying. I'm saying he has to be able
When were the members of the Congressional Black Caucus, which unto itself is worrisome? Where's the Congressional Non-Black Caucus? Tell me where that is. Where is the Congressional American Caucus? Where is that? Where did that go?
I speak
for the Congressional American Caucus. I don't care what your race or religion is. I don't care what it is, as long as you're an American. That's my caucus. I don't want to hear any more about these splinter groups or hyphenated groups. And nobody elected them to run this country. And by the way, let me tell you something else. I investigated this amnesty. Do you know who was behind it? It was the illegitimate vermin in the ACLU. It was the illegitimate rats in the ACLU, along with the illegitimate La Raza, that forced the president's hand on this issue. And I have said over and over again, God, if I had the power, I would immediately hold hearings on the ACLU. I would indict every one of their leaders. I would seize their property, going back as far as I could, and I would expose them for the enemies of the state that they are. That's what I would do, but that's why I'm only on radio, and that's why I'm never running for office, because they own this country lock, stock, and barrel. Nobody ever elected any of these communist lawyers to that position, did they? Yet they run the country.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. We have been arguing over whether or not Romney can win any longer because of his failure to heartily criticize President Obama for engaging in an unconstitutional, illegal act, that is granting amnesty to approximately 1 million illegal aliens, primarily from Mexico. That is a full statement. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. The website is michaelsavage.com. I'd like to hear the callers, by the way. And we're going to begin in South Carolina, where Rick has a very interesting point. If you care to join the conversation, you will speak to more people than you'll meet for the rest of your life if you're lucky enough to get through Doug's screening. Let's go to South Carolina. Rick, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, Obama is daring the Congress to impeach him. And by Congress not telling Obama to rescind his executive order regarding the deportation of these young illegal aliens, then Congress, especially the Republicans, are showing what political cowards they are. And I would urge all my fellow Americans to contact their men and women representative in Congress and urge them to impeach
Obama. Yeah, by the way, hold it. I want to go back to your primary statement, which is that he's daring Congress to act. He is. And Congress is not taking the bait. But in not doing so, they're permitting the man to aggrandize more and more and more dangerous powers. That's the point. When will he stop? When he writes an executive order saying the ownership of guns is now illegal, turn them in at your local police station? Tell me what happens the next day.
Hey, you're absolutely right. Obama.
In other words, if you don't stop a dictator at Munich, he's going to take all of Europe. They could have stopped Hitler, by the way, at Munich. They could have stopped Hitler right at the beginning at the beer hall putsch. They could have stopped Hitler when he invaded Czechoslovakia. But Britain caved in and they let him go on to the next step. And this man is acting like a dictator. He's taking power grabs one bite at a time, and there's no opposition to him.
Mike, even if the Senate would not convict Obama, at least the stain of impeachment would keep his face off Mount Rushmore. And we know that's one of the dictator's dreams. So at least we can do
care.
That.
I really don't care about Mount Rushmore. I care about keeping this country alive. And if this man wins a second term, the blind ideology that we are seeing from these fanatics running this country, blind ideology without any analysis of what their policies are leading to. Take a look at the Arab winter. They don't even understand what they've done. Now they want to depose Assad and bring about what? Another Muslim radical organization to power as they've done in Egypt? Are they insane? Do they not see what they have done? The handiwork of Egypt is plain for the world to see. The Muslim Brotherhood is running the country, and they now want to do the same thing with Assad while Iran, Russia, and China are bringing in 80,000 troops, 400 ships, 400 airplanes, and something like 800 tanks into the area. And these blind academics continue to push the idea that we have a right to overthrow another person in another country?
Obama's goal is to transform America into a weak socialist dictatorship. And that's what he and his people are doing, and doing it very well.
Yeah, but he's a cheat. But wait a minute. But my friend, you would have to agree with me that he is doing it. There is no opposition party here.
Absolutely right. He wants a one-party socialist dictatorship. That's
Rick,
what they're
I'm sending.
Doing.
I'm sending you a book. I'm sending you a book by a brilliant analyst that saw this for what it was, predicted he would grant amnesty to illegal aliens. The book is called "Trickle Down Tyranny." It's on the way to you. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. This is very serious business, and I don't understand why you don't understand your party is not acting for you. Not one iota. The Republicans are not acting for you. New York, Rob, you disagree with me? You're welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR Radio.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. Yeah, my point is simply this. I am an independent voter here in New York City. I lean more conservatively. However, I believe that Mitt Romney and his team are strategizing. They're holding everything close to their vest. I believe that with all this rhetoric in regards to Obama and all these charges of racism by the media, that they have a plan. The plan is simply this. They're going to, when weeks before the election, when people are really paying attention, everybody's back, school's back in session, and the fall is here, I believe they're going to have an all-out campaign with Blitz. They got the money. They have the
Well, let's stop again. You're talking about a campaign, not the business of government, nor about the power grabs that Obama's engaging in on the way to that time. What do you do about all the things he's doing until that time?
Well, he's not the president, Mr. Savage. You have to wait until he has...
Well, wait a minute. Do we have a dictatorship? You mean he can do whatever he wants?
No.
Anytime he can write an executive order and wipe out the rights of American citizens, and there's no opposition party to scream foul ball?
No, the opposition party is weak at the moment. I believe that they succumbed to the race card issue.
What do you mean the opposition party is weak? They just defeated the illegitimate unions in Wisconsin. Who said the opposition party is weak? When you have a strong candidate, as you did in Scott Walker, he wasn't weak, was he? He stood for something. He stood up to the thugs in the union, and he defeated the unions. No, that's what we need in the White House, and we need that in a candidate, and we cannot wait until October. I'm sorry, there'll be nothing left, because this man is testing to see how far he can go. And if he can get away with granting amnesty to 1 million illegal aliens, what might he do tomorrow? I'll be right back. Wait, before I go to a break, there are three types of people. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. In tough economic times, tough people make things happen. Like Jenny, and this is her income and home story. Here's what she writes. I spent my life working in the corporate world with far too little time with my kids. Then out of the blue, bingo, I got laid off. I was looking for a job when I learned about incomeathome.com. I ordered my decision pack, I got a call from my coach, and I got started. In my first full month, I made $1,300, and I'm on my way to making more than I've ever made, and I do it around my family's needs. Some earn less, many earn more, and some earn a lot more. So go to incomeathome.com to see the results you can expect, no matter your age or education. You can literally earn money from your kitchen table. Make it happen for you and your family at incomeathome.com. Write it down, incomeathome.com. Incomeathome.com. Incomeathome.com.
Savage.
Well, here we are. We're sitting here watching a dictatorship emerge right in front of our eyes, and the Republican Party, which is the opposition party, is saying nothing, doing nothing. I see no evil. I hear no evil. I speak no evil. Is that what you expect from a two-party system? Then you have a one-party system, and I rest my case. The object of a two-party system is that one party keeps the other party in line. And when a president starts to act like a tyrant, which is increasingly clear to me that Obama has become a tyrant, which has been apparent for a while. It's plain for anyone to see. When he overrides Congress with the stroke of a pen, he grants amnesty to 1 million illegal aliens, and there is hardly a murmur from the opposition party. Does it not tell you that Michael Savage has been correct all these years when he said it's the Demokins or the Republicrats? You take your choice. There is no fundamental difference on so many darn issues. I am right. You are wrong if you think Romney's holding his fire. He's not holding his fire because he has none. That's my opinion. He has no fire whatsoever. And I keep hearing from you over and over again, and don't give me any more of the same caller. Romney's waiting till the election to speak out. Too late. Too late. Now is the time to speak out, not before the election. I heard the same foolishness about George Bush. I've been in this business 18 years, so I've heard a lot of things over the years. I've seen people misled over the years, and many of you Republican voters are being misled once again by the concept that at the right time, the middle-of-the-road internationalist Republican is suddenly going to become a nationalist and is suddenly going to defend America's interests. Never been true, never will be true, going back to Nelson Rockefeller. It will never happen. If they're not doing it when the man commits such an egregious act as granting amnesty to at least 1 million illegal aliens with the equivalent of the DREAM Act, which was shot down by Congress, then they will never do it. Moreover, there's another side to the story. They actually agree with him. My opinion is that Romney actually likes what Obama did. It takes a big burden off his shoulders. So don't tell me that suddenly he's going to act on the eve of the election. He will never act. What you see is what you get. As a businessman once said to me about 20 years ago, he was a pretty rich guy at the time. I didn't have very much. I was a consultant doing fairly well, but not great. And I was trying to become a consultant in one of his companies. This man in New York City, I'll never forget it as long as I live. I learned from people along the way various things. I learned from one thing he said to me, how it begins is how it goes. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, any business deal that you enter into, how the other side and you get along right from the beginning is how it's going to go forever. So if you start with contention, it's only going to get worse. It's never going to get better. It's true in marriage. How it begins is how it goes. You're fighting with that girl, you're never going to stop fighting. It's going to get worse. You're arguing with that guy from the day you met him, it's never going to get better. It's going to get worse. I am telling you how it begins is how it goes. You heard it from Michael Savage. If Romney is a milquetoast, a middle-of-the-roader, a Rockefeller Republican, a check-pants Republican now, that's what he's going to be forever. He's never going to change. What you see is what you get. How it begins is how it goes. Pittsburgh, PA, Kyle, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, the only way that Romney can be elected and win is if he becomes a puppet for the Conservative Party, just as we've said that Obama was for the Liberals.
What do you mean by a puppet? I mean, that's a pretty powerful word. You mean express nationalist? You mean express nationalist and family oriented values? That makes him a puppet.
To portray the ideals of the Conservative Party. I mean, we have to balance the ideology of Obama with another ideology.
Absolutely. We need fire to meet fire. That's correct. We need a hard conservative to beat the hard leftist in power. Is what you're saying. But Romney is not that man. Romney never was that man. Romney will never be that man. Remember, he was the governor of the most liberal state in the country, Massachusetts. Do you remember?
Yes.
So, how are you going to have him change all of a sudden? He's never going to change. He's going to grant amnesty to more illegal aliens. Let's look at this. Romney wins. Let's say by some miracle, Romney wins. He slogs along and he wins by 1%. Now he has to rule. Tell me what he's going to do about the illegal immigrants in this country. Probably just what he did. Probably exactly what Obama just did. He's going to do it in a different form. That's number one. He's already said he will. They call it comprehensive immigration reform. That's a code word for amnesty for illegal aliens. What is he going to do about our national security concerns? I don't know. Where does he stand on the military? Did he say he'd build up the military? Did he say he would build up what Obama has torn down? I don't know. I don't know where he stands in the military. Where does he stand on what Obama has done in the Middle East? Obama has destroyed the entire structure of the Middle East, and nobody knows where this ends yet. Nobody has any idea where this ends or how it ends. Where does Romney stand with regard to the Arab winter? We have no idea. I don't know who the man is. I wish I did. I had a nice Father's Day over the weekend. I spoke with my family on many things, and we avoid politics in my family as best as we can. But when Romney's name came up, I heard the same refrain over and over again. He's finished. We don't know what he stands for. We don't know who he is. We have no idea why we should vote for him. We don't know. And if we don't know, and I'm very political, how can the average person know who he is? So then it comes down to the question of people are simply going to vote upon looks and persona, which is a sad statement, but maybe it's a true one. I once jokingly said during the Clinton years that people vote based upon hair. Whoever has more hair wins. That was a joke. But unfortunately, there was a truth to it. It's no different than a popularity contest in high school. Do you like this kid better than that kid? Because the average kid in high school didn't know which one of them stood for what. They were a blur. They were the same. So do you choose this one or do you choose that one? Which flavor candidate do you like better? The Romney candidate who represents Father America, and Ann Romney, let's say a more traditional view of America, or do you like the radical, exciting Obama candidacy? Is that what you like? The wild, crazy Obama, willing to upset the apple cart. The wild, cool rebel. Is that who you're going to vote for? Is that who most Americans like? The cool cat, as opposed to the old standby. Is that what it's going to come down to? Who knows? That could be it. It could be that. It could be as simple as that. I have no idea how the average person thinks. I can only think the way I think. I can only speak the way I speak. I can only think the way I think. And I can only express my contempt for the Republican Party. You certainly know what I think of the Democrats. You know, and I know they're socialists. You and I both know where they're going. European socialism, weakened America, small military, no nuclear arsenal, sort of like Denmark with an Atlantic and a Pacific. That's Obama's vision. A dictatorship of the Socialist Party, USA. But what do the Republicans want? What is it that they stand for today? I don't know. Is it Henry Kissinger's view of the world? Is it old Hank Kissinger's view that the new Republican Party stands for? International trade agreements where the U.S. always gets screwed? Maybe that's what's in store for us. A perennial second-class status in the future. God help us if that's the best the Republican Party can offer. I have never been a registered Republican. Let me be very, very clear with you on the Savage Nation, because maybe I have to express again, you know, where I am politically. I was never a Republican. I've never been a member of either party, so far as I know. Maybe in the beginning, I don't really know. As a kid, I didn't know who I voted for my first vote. I have no idea. But the fact is I've been a registered independent for 15 or more years. Then it became fashionable for people to say in radio, oh, I'm an independent. Great. Join the parade. But the fact is I've known who the Republicans are forever. I was a New Yorker when Rockefeller was a Republican before he died of a heart attack on his secretary on his desk. Remember that story? A little side note. You forgot about that. When the whale collapsed on his secretary having extramarital relations with her and she couldn't get out from under him. And she was fishing for the phone for a few hours on the floor of their Fifth Avenue offices across the Metropolitan Museum of Art. That was a very famous story in the Daily News when I was a kid in New York. There was your Republican at that time. And God Almighty, that was swept under the rug. Most people don't even remember it. So you say, well, why are you bringing it up? Why? I'm just talking now. What can I say to you? I was never enamored of the Republican Party. What did they symbolize? What did a guy like Rockefeller symbolize in the Republican Party? To me, a kid who grew up in a Democrat home, immigrant home, Democrat home, what did Rockefeller symbolize? Middle of the road, nice guy, big businessman, looked out for the rich and looked out for the interests of the rich. Let me tell you something. That's how the average man sees Romney. I don't care how you paint it. I don't care what you try to paste on it. I don't care how you put it. That's how he's going to be portrayed. What's ironic, though, is that Obama hangs around only with the super wealthy, only with the super powerful, and yet he has such a machine that you still think he represents the poor, which is why he just did an end run around the entire system. He granted amnesty to 1 million illegal aliens, daring the Republicans to say one word, and they're too flat-footed to even know what to say. I know what to say. Don't even talk about illegal aliens. Talk about Obama's illegality. Talk about Obama's illegal act, not about the illegal aliens. And then you've got an attack. They don't have the brains for this.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, June 19th, two more days to the summer solstice, and a heat wave is about to descend upon the East Coast, breaking all sorts of records. And so I'd rather talk about the heat wave than talk about the non-election campaign. And you know where I stand on these issues, so why talk about it? Got a heat wave coming, that's all. And how are you going to deal with that one? The start of summer in the northeastern U.S., is going to be marked by the longest day of the year, as it normally is. That's what the word solstice comes from. And readings are expected to approach or top 100 degrees Wednesday and Thursday in New York, Boston, Philadelphia. So I guess the government can declare the weather to be somehow racist, I suppose. Maybe the sun has become racist. In that, when you think about it, mainly poor people don't have air conditioning. Rich people have air-conditioned airplanes, cars, boats, trains, and apartments and houses. But you see, the heat wave affects the poor disproportionately in that more poor people lack air conditioning than do rich people. Now, you might say that's commonsensical because rich people have the money to air-condition their dwellings or live in such. But there is no common sense when you have blind ideologues in the White House. So I would expect that either Eric Holder or Janet Napolitano will threaten the sun with some kind of executive order to stop its heat or else. And unless the sun stops radiating such extraordinary heat over the next few days, they're going to act in some manner, bringing the federal government down upon the sun. 1-800-449-8255. And old records set in 1923 in the East Coast, Philadelphia, for example, it was 99. Degrees in 1923. 1931, it was 98 degrees. And tomorrow, we're expecting over 100 degrees. Be sure as I'm standing here, just as the groundhog is seen at a certain time of year, predicting winter, Al Gore will come out from the shadows and say, "See, I told you so. I am the fish oil of the time, and I can cure the world if only you would believe my absurdities." 1-800-449-8255. I'm going to ask you how you're going to deal with it. We went in front of a hydrant on Longfellow Avenue. The cops looked the other way as we flooded the street with precious water, drinking water, bathing water. It gushed out. The older men had a wrench. Whoever a guy had a wrench in the Bronx was sort of like a Paul Bunyan hero. I don't know where they got it from. Oh, there was usually a plumber in the building. He got a huge wrench. He opened up the hydrant, the Johnny Pump. And we would just basically, I mean, this force was so strong that it would blow us down the street. I can remember it to this day. It was a lot of fun. And we'd get soaked. Our shirts would be soaked. Our pants, the parents would look on and smile. Cops didn't come around and threaten to beat us with a nightstick. Nobody told us that we needed to be put on Ritalin. No one said we had ADD or HEDLS, MFT or hair loss or migraines or pyorrhea. They just said it's a bunch of kids having a good time and they're poor and they're living in a slum, so let them open up the hydrants. But of course you can't do that anymore because I just read that Mayor Bloomberg has said that anyone who opens up a hydrant and lets more than 32 ounces of water out is going to feel the wrath of the city inspectors. You're be allowed to permit 16 ounces of water out of a hydrant at any time, but not 32 ounces because it's deadly above a certain amount, a certain ounce level. So I'd rather talk about that than talk about the illegal immigration that both parties are certainly on the side of. We can talk about that. We can talk about what's going on in Syria. We can talk about what's going on in Greece. But I don't think many of you care very much about it, truthfully. It's such a marginal issue to the average American that it's almost not worth talking about. However, there is a soundbite that's worth playing. One of the most radical extremists in Congress is Representative Gutierrez. I'm trying to be ethnically correct by pronouncing his name appropriately. Representative Gutierrez, Democrat, Illinois, had something to say about the president freeing a million people. Listen to clip 15.
The president's action is a reflection of the will of the nation, of both House of Representatives and the Senate. And he has freed 800,000 people. His promise, and the promise that I made along...
Turn this liar off. The will of the nation? You mean, yeah, he's right. The will of the nation of Mexico. In that sense, you're right, Representative Gutierrez. The will of the nation of Mexico is to grant amnesty to all of the people of Mexico. But if you're talking about the United States of America, where you still live, Gutierrez, the will of the nation is very clear. Every poll shows, Democrat or Republicans alike, unless they're illegal aliens or related to illegal aliens, are opposed to amnesty for illegal aliens. So I don't expect you to understand reality, Gutierrez. That's why you're in Congress and not in talk radio. Now we go on to one of the left-wing fanatics from Washington, one of the worst people in the history of the Congress, in my opinion, Jim McDermott of Washington, making an embarrassing statement, embarrassing for himself in clip 16.
He's embraced the Ryan plan and the Ryan budget. He put out his own. That's almost an exact replica of what Paul Ryan's been pushing here for the last 2 years. He wants to hang on to the right wing as long as he can so he can milk them for as much money for the campaign. Then he'll pivot away from that when we get closer to the election and say, oh, well, I'm really over here in the middle. I'm not really as far out as I seem. But he is marrying Paul Ryan today. He's saying, this is my
All right, let's
guy.
Turn it off. Now, I want to explain something to you. Do you notice how the fanatics on the left are quick to use the word right wing, milk the right wing? Do you notice that the so-called Republicans never use the phrase left-wing or milking the left for all it's worth or the left-wing? Do you notice they never say that? Do you know why the Republicans never refer to the Democrats as the left-wing? Because they are the left-wing. Do you understand what I just said to you? Florida Joe, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hi. I think that super PACs are ruining this country. And because of that, both parties are living off of these super PACs today. And the extreme wealthy are controlling our entire political system, including academia today, is involved. Kaplan University is the largest for-profit university in this country, and they did $3.6 billion in revenue last year. 86% was Title IV student loans backed by our government and the taxpayers, and 26% of those loans will pay back. So you've got the media, you got Fox News, MSNBC, both sides of the aisle, and you got Susie Orman and Dave Ramsey as paid cheerleaders for target date mutual funds on the sidelines. So what we have to do today is figure out how to get rid of the super PACs, A, and then B, get a party that is somewhat to the middle, because no American wants to see a hungry child living next door. And frankly, most people that are in that situation won't live next door to those people. So the solution lies in the middle, and that's where most Americans are. We're not extreme fanatics like in the Catholic Church. They've got child molesters.
But wait. Now you're going off the... Now you're attacking the Catholic Church, which has nothing to do with this discussion. No, most Americans, by the way, are not in the middle. You're wrong about that. Every poll, whether it be Rasmussen or Gallup, has shown that America has moved to the right. That the largest majority of Americans consider themselves to be conservative or somewhat conservative. You're wrong about that. You're expressing an opinion that is no longer valid. America is not in the middle. It is somewhat to the right, especially on fiscal matters. So I have to reject your notion. It's that simple. Phone number is 1-800-449-8255. You care to call the show, you can still get in on the conversation. Here are some of the headlines on michaelsavage.com. Cold War chill and Putin Obama meeting. Mad radical Obama seeks to unilaterally disarm America's nuclear forces. Romney caves on China. Now Kissinger to endorse him. Why is Obama delaying trial of Fort Hood killer? Other headlines, why Russia is standing by Syria's Assad, Romney and Kid Rock, contempt vote showdown looms, Mexican president thanks Obama for order on illegal aliens, Hamas ordered rocket attack on Israel at request of Muslim Brotherhood, the friends of Hillary Clinton. I can go on and on. I don't have to read for you what you can read by one click to michaelsavage.com. Seven-year-old accidentally hangs himself with karate belt. Sad story. Bubble skin man of Indonesia seeks cure. Very sad. Woody Allen's son, it turns out, we found out, works for the State Department under Hillary Clinton. Are you shocked by that? I'm not shocked by it. Other stories when I return right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Yep, the whole West is crumbling. What we have on the two sides in Greece is a small example of what's going on in the United States of America and throughout the West. You have on the left wing mainstream politicians, journalists so-called, liberal intellectuals, artists, and hipsters. On the other side, in those countries, you have neo-Nazis, anarchists, fighting anarchists and leftists. The only difference in our country is that we have no right-wing party whatsoever. They're trying to paint Romney as a right-winger, but he is anything but. There is no right-wing in the United States of America. Europe understands this very, very well. It is how Hitler came to power. You see, you have to understand history to not repeat history. Hitler came to power because the anarchists, the communists, the politicians, the journalists, the liberal intellectuals, the artists of the Weimar Republic were destroying the social fabric of Germany. They were ripping it to shreds. They were attacking everybody. They wouldn't let anybody speak. They were out of control like the Occupy movement on steroids. The right wing in Germany, which was not violent at the time, joined together and became violent to fight the communists in the streets. That led to the rise of Hitler. Did you hear what I just said to you? So the crime that is coming from, that came to us from the left, the crime of the Occupy movement, the intolerance of the media, the intolerance of the left wing is fueling an undercurrent of hatred in this country unlike any I've ever seen in my lifetime. And I said undercurrent of violence. It's simmering. If we do not have any representation in the Republic, I pray it doesn't happen, but if history is a guide, it will happen. I pray it doesn't happen. But if we keep seeing people such as Obama, who seems to be in the corner with Mao Zedong, Fidel Castro, Hugo Chavez, to some degree or other, who is going to counter this left-wing fanatic in the White House? Certainly it can't be Romney. Romney doesn't seem to understand what he's even talking about. So I rest my case again. But just understand that we have extremists on one side called the journalists, the mainstream politicians, the liberal intellectuals, the artists, the hipsters. Those are the extremists on the left that are ruling this nation and ruining this nation. And Obama is their man. Make no mistake about it. He is the radicals' commander in chief. And he's a dangerous tyrant at the same time, granting amnesty to 800,000 to a million people without hardly a peep from the other side. So where does the other side go for its expression? We're supposed to be in a participatory democracy. Who represents us? Who represents those of us who want a nation of law and order? Who represents us, those of us who want family values expressed again? I just used a phrase you haven't heard once from Romney, have you? Have you heard the words family values? Whatever happened to family values? Where'd they go? When did a focus group decide that family and values have no place in the modern America? So what rules then? Pornography and no family values? Pornography and perversion are now the values of the land? And there's no opposition party saying, wait a minute, it's enough of the vile pollution, the cesspool, the sewer pipe that Katzenberg and Spielberg have unleashed on the world, The sewer pipe of Hollywood has nothing to stop it. No one to block the sludge and sewage that they're pumping out into everyone's brain around the planet? Apparently not. Apparently the sewer pipe of Hollywood now runs through the Republican Party as well. There's nothing to stop them, is there? But the people themselves. And so, I say to you, we have a left wing that is running the world and running the country that is out of control. You have the so-called journalists. You have the so-called mainstream politicians. You have the so-called liberal intellectuals. You have the so-called artists. You have the so-called hipsters. And you have their leader, their commander-in-chief, Obama. But who represents the other side? Who represents family values, nationalism, patriotism, borders, language, and culture? Nobody. Certainly not the Republican Party. Again, we do not have a leader. That's how I see it. So let me see what you have to say about it. Michael in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hello? Okay. I agree. Romney is not up to the task. I want to use the example of Sullenberger. Sullenberger was the pilot who did something that was never done before because it was a unique situation. And he landed safely in the Hudson. The miracle on the Hudson. Well, the same thing has to be done with the Republican candidate for president. And these people, the leaders, don't recognize the urgency that you recognize, that I recognize.
Wait. So you're saying is that we need a hero to emerge? A hero to emerge on the other side from the opposition to this left-wing juggernaut? We need a hero and there is none?
Until it's over. We need Jan Brewer in Arizona standing up to the menace in the White House.
Whoa. You're saying we need some charismatic leader on the other side of the puzzle. Well, we just had it in Wisconsin. Didn't Scott Walker just defeat the unions?
Absolutely. But you.
All right, so Romney should pick Scott Walker. Why is Romney not even talking to Scott Walker? Why is he talking to this nobody, Marco Rubio, who has, apparently Marco Rubio stands for nothing. Marco Rubio's not an American position. I'd like to see someone who's for the laws of the land rather than for us. Rubio seems to think that what Obama just did is a wonderful thing. So Rubio would be the worst choice in the world for Obama right now. The only thing that could save the worst thing in the world for Romney right now. The only thing that can possibly save the Romney campaign is to pick a right-wing Republican candidate as his running mate. There is no right-wing candidate. You can't even call Scott Walker a right-winger. Anybody who does not toe the left-wing party line in this country, anyone who even runs along the middle is called a right-winger by the vermin in the media. They tar and feather anyone who does not cater to the left-wing fanaticism that is ruining the nation and destroying the will of the West to even survive. And so we have a problem on our hands. Who will Romney pick? The decision, of course, is his, not mine. However, if he does not pick a vociferous nationalist or someone at least willing to stand up to the unions and to stand up to the left-wing fanatics, he can't win. John in Fresno, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, Mike. Hey,
go ahead.
I've never voted in my life, and I've been excited about voting up until a couple days ago. When now I don't know if I'm going to vote, and I got friends. And you want to talk about people that's never voted, and I got good friends. We're good.
But
people.
Wait, you're saying you're not going to vote for Romney because he said nothing about the illegal alien amnesty?
You know what? What I'm saying is I want somebody like Walker that's going to stand up. I mean, like, again, I said I'm 44. And
what you're saying is why vote for someone who stands for nothing? Isn't that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Why, for you know, now I don't have nothing to vote for. I might as well vote for my plant out here.
Well, I'm sorry to tell you, I agree with you. That's what's happening. Romney is such a lackluster, spineless candidate that he's actually turning off Republican voters, not turning them on. I mean, look, I'm sorry. What is my goal here? Why am I attacking Romney for 2 days straight? Because he won't say anything about the illegal aliens is number one. Number two, unless he changes course, he's toast. He's finished. And the left-wing ideologue in the White House will win a second term. That will be the end of America's supremacy. It will be finalized. He will drive a stake through the heart of this country and never recover. The man has decimated the military, decimated the economy, decimated the social order, decimated the moral order. There's nothing left. 4 more years of this man, there is nothing left. That's my opinion. Again, it's one man's opinion. This is my opinion. Is it your opinion? The hour ends in exactly 47 seconds. There he bows again. Obama meets the Mexican president. That picture is worth $1 trillion. Why is Obama bowing to the president of Mexico? What's with the bowing? What does Mexico hold over America that Obama bows to him? There must be something more than we are seeing. Nobody seems to understand why Mexico is pulling the strings on our election. It seems that neither party speaks to the American people. They speak only to the splinter groups and to the special interests. So I think I've made my point today, and I hope that you understand where I am coming from. I'm trying to prod Mitt Romney into standing up for borders, language, and culture. Otherwise, he can't win.
Seven.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You have to listen to some of this insane audio, including the leftist fanatic Jim McDermott saying the insulting thing that Mitt Romney is marrying Paul Ryan.
He's embraced the Ryan plan and the Ryan budget. He put out his own. That's almost an exact replica of what Paul Ryan's been pushing here for the last 2 years. He wants to hang on to the right wing as long as he can so he can milk him for as much money for the campaign. Then he'll pivot away from that when we get closer to the election and say, oh, well, I'm really over here in the middle. I'm not really as far out as I seem. But he is marrying Paul Ryan today. He's saying, this is my guy. This is my thinking. I really like this. And when he starts that pivot, they're going to recognize it, and he's going to get clobbered. I think the American people, I trust them. They see this guy for what he is. He's a panderer for the top 1%. He will say whatever they want.
He reminds me of that line from Groucho Marx, that the first thing, if you're going to go into politics, you got to look honest. And he's trying to look honest when he's trying to deceive the people on every single level. He does not want to tell them what he's going to have to do. He will not do that in this campaign. He will try and get there on blue smoke and mirrors, and the American people are going to see right straight through that, and Barack Obama is going to be reelected.
Now listen to Florida Senator Marco Rubio saying that President Obama is dividing Americans against each other. Well, he's right.
While I know that many of these kids will take this as good news because, you know, they're desperate for some sort of resolution, it's a short-term solution to something that requires a long-term answer. And my bigger concern is that by doing this by executive order, by ignoring and going around the Congress, they've somehow this may make it harder in the long term to solve this problem.
So the president should not have done this?
I don't think he should have done this by executive order. I think he should have worked with the Congress. The White House never called us about this. No one reached out to us and told us this was on its way. I mean, if they were serious about a real solution to this problem and not politicizing it, then why don't you reach out to people? He deliberately divides Americans against each other for purposes of political gain.
That's very strong language.
It's true. It's absolutely true. If you look at this White House, they never pass up an opportunity to pit one group of Americans against another for purposes of improving his electoral chances. Time and again, whether it's one group of Hispanics against another, men against women, rich against poor, he is constantly looking for opportunities to tell one group of Americans that they would be better off if another group of Americans were worse off. And I think that's common in politics. It's not just Obama. It's common in politics. But I think what's really sad is he had a chance to be different.
Here's a blast from the past, or shall we say a past from the blast, Former U.S. Senator Tom Daschle, remember him? Saying that President Obama will win re-election in November. Does he know something you don't know?
I think the bottom line is that everybody understands this is at best 50-50. No one, even the optimists, can't predict that the court is going to rule unanimously in favor of this decision. I think the conventional wisdom right now is that they won't. But we really won't know for at least now another week. And so it's unclear. What we have to do is prepare for whatever option may be likely to unfold. And there are four or five of those options available to us. So we've got a plan for each one of them, implement them as we get to know more. It seems like every first-term president, I remember what they said about Bill Clinton in 1996 and what they said about George W. Bush in 2004. I mean, you had a lot of predictions that...
They didn't have 8.2% or 8% unemployment.
Well, they didn't. But, you know, the president can point to a lot of achievement, a lot of accomplishment, and you're going to see him do that. You know, there isn't a lot of enthusiasm for Mr. Romney so far, and I think you've got to look at who the opposition is and just how this debate's going to play out over the long term. And we haven't seen the end of the economic news yet. We could still see some real economic progress before the election. It is almost 6 months away, so I still think this president's going to be the winner in November. It's going to be a struggle, and it'll be close, but I think at the end he's going to pull it out.
Here are some of the questions we've been asking today on the Savage Nation. Romney has refused to say he would overturn Obama's illegal alien amnesty. Do you believe Romney has real principles or just the desire for power like all of them? And if you think Romney has real principles, what are they? Are you a conservative who's decided not to vote this election? Well, what caused you to make that decision? Are you an Obama voter who's decided not to vote for him because of what he just did by granting amnesty to a million illegal aliens? Greece. Greece is increasingly devolving into a polarized Weimar Republic-like state similar to Germany in the 1920s. Do you fear the same thing is happening here, meaning in Greece? On another note, a recent study said senior citizens who say they're lonely have shorter lives. Do you believe loneliness is a condition to be overcome or just a natural part of human nature, which should be accepted? Maybe they can medicate loneliness next. Now let's go to all the stories on michaelsavage.com. Who leaked to the New York Times? Poll says charge leakers with treason. Put me at the top of that list, charge leakers with treason. And take a guess who the leaker may be. Well, according to the Weekly Standard, they're saying, is it Leon Panetta? Is it Leon Panetta, defense secretary and prior to that CIA head? They say he is the prime suspect in one of the most notorious political leaks of all time. Well, I'm not going to read you the whole article, but read it yourself. That's all. I wouldn't be surprised. He's a longtime leftist operative. Anti-Romney protesters pay to heckle Romney. Romney to speak at NAACP next month. Anywhere but conservatives. Wherever there are no conservatives, there's Romney. What does that tell you? The Department of Justice secretly drops terrorism charges in Taliban case. Leak. USA and Israel created flame virus aimed at Iran. Who leaked that one? Huh? Who said that? What? Who developed this one? Oh, now it's the Washington Post leaking it. I see. Sorry. Another liberal rag. Okay, let's see what else is on my website, michaelsavage.com. Cold War chill in Putin-Obama meeting. Take a look at the picture. One picture is worth a million drachmas. Why is Obama delaying the trial of the Fort Hood killer? Well, let's see. Hassan Hussein. Hussein Hassan. Romney caved in on China, no longer calling for tariffs, and now Kissinger has agreed to endorse him. Occupy Wall Street movement has hit a wall. They hoped it would become the left's answer to the Tea Party. Not. If you want to figure out why Russia is standing by Syria's Assad, read the article. You'll see that a lot of women in full headscarves are in favor of the people fighting Assad. It just shows you how crazy the situation is. Romney and Kid Rock, revealed photo of Obama's pot-smoking chum gang. Mexican president thanks Obama for granting amnesty to a million illegal aliens. What else is on michaelsavage.com that you really care about? Let's go to the bottom and see if there's something terrible. Oh, God, it's awful. Oh, it's awful. Geriatric Rolling Stones refuse to retire. The band's four members have a combined age of 272 years. Bubble Skin Man of Indonesia seeks cure. It's a horrible picture. Look at it if you have a taste for the macabre. Seven-year-old accidentally hangs himself with karate belt. Oh, God, it gets worse. Well, also, if you want to read something positive, if you call it positive, it's the most important book I've ever written called Trickle Down Tyranny. Read it and weep. All this and more right here on The Savage Nation. Wait, hang on before I go. I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements, you head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com, I've used them for blinds. I love them. Blinds.com. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. So back in 1981, 82, 83, I don't remember which, I wrote a book called The Skeptical Nutritionist because at the time I was a campaigner for, sanity and diet. I was way ahead of the curve, 30 years ahead of people in the country in the field of nutrition, herbal medicine, homeopathic medicine, etc. And Macmillan published the book, and the opening chapter of this book was about food fascism. And that's what Bloomberg is doing. It makes no sense to ban the large sodas and now the large popcorn. Of course we know that you're not supposed to eat a lot of sugar, but that's an individual choice. It's not the government's job to mandate what you eat and what you don't eat. He can mandate it in school cafeterias and in city-owned hospitals. That he has authority to do, but not in the private sector. It's out, but this is an example. This, to me, is exactly what liberalism is in this country, on little Napoleons like him, basically spitting on people, telling them what they can eat, what they can't eat. Popcorn is one of the healthiest foods on earth. No one's telling you to put the fake butter on it. And the reason people buy large tubs of popcorn, Bloomy, is because they're cheaper than two small boxes of popcorn. They share the popcorn, Bloomberg. That's something that the average person does to economize in a movie theater. Same with soda. First they came for the soda, and I said nothing because I was a coffee drinker. Then they came for the popcorn, and I stayed silent because I watched DVDs at home. Then they came for the milk, and I said nothing because I was lactose intolerant. Then they came for me, and there was nothing left to snack on. Thank you, Beowulf Rocklin, for helping me with my metaphor. Yes, first they came for the soda. So this is an example of why I am not a liberal, by the way. Exactly, it could all be told in what Bloomberg is doing. Exactly in what Bloomberg is trying to do in legislating. Seven deadly sins, as you know, lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. I would add an eighth deadly sin, which is gluttony. Not gluttony, but gluttony. Gluten-free is another deadly sin. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, pride, and gluttony. Not gluttony. Gluten-free, you can make a deadly sin when you beat people up with it. I'm eating a gluten-free diet. Ask him what gluten is and why you don't like it. Why did nature put gluten in wheat? Let's start with that. Let's start with a simple concept. Gluten is a fraction of wheat. Why is it in the wheat? Well, I don't know. Well, nature's stupid, and I'm smarter than nature, and I want gluten out of my food. Because Dr. Schmuck told me that that's the reason I have this disease, that disease, why I'm depressed, why I'm ugly, why I'm foolish, why I use hair coloring, why my nails are too long, why I'm bow-legged, why I have pimples, why I don't have pimples, why I can't get a date, why I'm home alone at night. It's all because of gluten. If I eat a gluten-free diet and look at my iPhone, I'll be the happiest girl on Third Avenue. Stupid. Lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, pride leads me to the topic of the day. If you just joined the show, what I'm talking about, in addition to food fascism, in addition to why I'm not a liberal, is that I'm breaking out of my, I don't know the word to use, really. I haven't been in public since 2004 when I had a 7,000-person event at the Concord Pavilion. I came out on the stage with my Cadillac, 7,000 people. It was big. It was a big event. And it was paid, by the way. It was a paid event. They didn't show up because it was free. And I came out in the caddy. It was a great performance. Teddy was with me. He was a little baby, all black. He was a puppy. He's now a senior citizen poodle, 10 pounds, and he's great. So I want to do another sequel, you know, public lectures, public speaking. I have the biggest agency in the world, the best in the world, and we're working it out. And I already picked a couple of places. After Labor Day, Marin County Civic Center, my old hometown. October, two events in South Florida. And it won't be at Century Village. Then maybe New York City on Times Square somewhere, then Houston, Texas, and God knows where else. So I'm asking you, what would you like me to do on stage? I mean, what would you come there for? You can hear me on the radio. You know, everybody who's a public figure does lectures. I don't. I'm one of the only ones who doesn't. Remember I've told you I'm the only one who doesn't tour? I don't do them. I decided that the election is so important, I need to see my public. And I'm getting too isolated from the public. I need to actually see you. I need you as much as you need to see me. But what do you want to see is the question. What would you come there to see? What would the stage set be if you were the set designer? What pieces from my books would you like me to read? What quotes? Should Teddy be on stage with me? Be a stage designer. 1-800-449-8255. Describe me in one sentence or less. From immigrant son to radio stardom in one generation. That doesn't really describe me, does it? Nothing describes a man. How do you describe a man in one sentence? A man is complex. He's many things. He's everything. He's nothing. He's up. He's down. He's depressed. He's happy. He's brilliant. He's stupid. He's inspiring. He's boring. I mean, a man is many things. So how do you define a man with one sentence? Well, what I just did for you is what you want me to do on the stage. That's what you want to hear is the whole shot, the whole gestalt, the entire sequence from A to Z and back again. Houston, Texas, Jason, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I got to say I was very excited when I heard you mention Houston as a potential stop, and I think I got a tagline for you. What if you went with "Abandon Britain yet embrace the world over"?
I love it. I don't know if it's true. Banned in Britain, but not in Houston might be better. No, I have to do something in Texas. I must. I mean, I would love to be in Texas. The people are so wonderful. It may as well be a separate country. Can you imagine a Texas governor trying to ban popcorn or ban soda in Texas? Could you imagine the outcry in your state of sane people?
It would never happen. I mean, that tagline could also almost apply to New York in that point, you know. Popcorn and soda banned in New York and embraced the world over. I mean, it just...
Popcorn banned in New York and embraced in Houston.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I think that Napoleon Bloomberg ought to apply for the job as mayor of London. He might be more happy serving those folks since they like this kind of dictatorship. San Antonio, Texas. Gary, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. One line would be Einstein of the airways, a man ahead of his time.
That's funny. Look what happened to Einstein. He wound up on college posters with his tongue out.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Look, how many times do I have to tell you that President Obama, in my opinion, is the most radical left-wing president in American history, and he's certainly doing anything and everything to get reelected, and that includes granting amnesty to at least 800,000, God knows how many there really are, illegal immigrants. Well, joining us right now on the Savage Nation to talk about this in her new book, What the Bleep Just Happened, is author and Fox News contributor Monica Crowley. Monica Crowley, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. It's so nice to be back with you. Thank you so much for having me.
The last time you and I talked, it was about my best-selling book, Trickle Down Tyranny. Do you think there's a better example of tyranny than what President Obama has done this week on immigration?
It's so stunning, Michael, because when I wrapped up writing this book, probably about 2 months ago, I said to myself, you know what, self? this president is going to do a million more things between the time I had to put this manuscript to bed and publication. And here we are on the publication date of the book. And once again, he has done, just as I predicted, a million extra and unconstitutional things, including what you just mentioned, which is this move on illegal immigration. Barack Obama never ceases to stun and amaze in his absolute pure cojones in going around the Constitution, violating the rule of law, violating the separation of powers, violating the concept of co-equal branches of government. And as I detail in the book, he has done this routinely, almost once a month since he became president. But this latest example really takes the cake. So what he has done here is bypass Congress, blow off the Constitution, and essentially create a pathway for amnesty for about 800,000, maybe over a million illegal immigrants. And the thing that gets me about this, Michael, is that he says the policy should be for those who were brought in as children, no fault of their own. I love that phrase. No fault of their own. No, but the fault of their parents. They were brought in before 16, but now they're still under the age of 30. The first thing I thought of, Michael, when I heard that was voting age. Voting age. So brought in under the age of 16, and they're now under the age of 30. What does this mean? This means that these folks are voting age, and of course, for whom are they going to vote in November? Of course, Barack Obama, the guy who just waved them in with amnesty. This is what this president has been all about from the beginning. This is about waiving the Constitution, enforcing the laws that he likes, blowing off the laws he doesn't like. He is behaving as a dictator. You and I have talked about this in the past. And the fact that he gets away with it, not just from the press, and we understand that, they're all on the left, and they've made repeated excuses for him and continue to protect him. But members of the Republican Party who are so afraid of the Latino vote and alienating the Latino vote, can't win without that bloc. So they're so afraid of taking a real stance here, condemning the president for his extra constitutional move, and then making a firm stance in favor of the rule of law and saying, no, we are a country of laws, not of men. And we have to stick by that principle even when it hurts us politically. The other thing that he's doing here with his illegal immigration move, and I write about this in the book, What the Bleep Just Happened, is that what Obama has essentially done is not just redistribute wealth here at home, but he has taken everything that has made America great and has redistributed all of that. And that includes our borders. So the philosophy here is open up the borders. This is the first move toward doing that, essentially an open borders or amnesty program. Flood the zone, meaning flood the country with illegal immigrants. And by doing that, you dilute our exceptionalism. That's what it's all about. In addition to the craven, crass political move of creating a permanent Democrat majority by letting in these illegals, this is also about diluting our very exceptionalism.
I know what the Republicans and Romney should do in response to the immigration issue. I write about it in my new book, Trickle Down Tyranny. Well, Monica, what do you think they should do? They're doing nothing.
Well, you know, as I said, we are either a nation of laws or we're not. Either we're a nation of laws based on the Constitution or we are a banana republic. And I find it incredible. I understand it from a political point of view, Michael, that you have this huge voting block. They are critically important to both sides. The president just pandered to them in an unbelievable way. But he's been doing it all along by appointing a former head of La Raza, the Radical Open Borders Society, to head his domestic policy council in the White House just a couple of months ago. This man is constantly pandering. He's violating the law. He's violating the separation of powers. And the Republican Party ought to stand for something. Don't be playing on his turf. Don't be playing on the pandering turf, okay, to the Latinos. Show a little more respect for Latino voters in America and say, you know what? This president has just pandered to you. This president has just given away the store. And while we understand why he's done it, because there's no more crass political operative than Barack Obama, understand that he is insulting your intelligence and violating the very constitution of this nation. What we're going to stand for as Republicans And Governor Romney should be making this case, too, and he hasn't. In fact, he's kind of gone down the road of what Obama is doing here. But the Republicans and Governor Romney ought to take a stand and say, okay, you know what? This guy's violating the law to pander to you. Here is where we are coming from. In America, we are happy to have you here. We are a nation of immigrants, but you must do it the right way. If you want to come into this country, at least respect us and our laws and our rules enough to do it the right way. And then we're happy to have you. Also, the rule of law. This country ought to stand for that, and the Republicans ought to point that out. But the second thing, too, is that they need to couple both of those arguments with a bigger one. And it's the argument that's resonating with every American in this election, and that is on the economy. So if Romney and the Republicans turn the argument around to the Latino community and say, here's where we're coming from. Your unemployment rate in your community is sky high. It's almost as high as the African-American unemployment rate. We're going to change the economic culture in this country. We're going to do tax reform, entitlement reform. We're going to cut spending. We're going to bring in pro-growth policies to help you get a job and help everybody in your community get a job and make you prosperous. That's the message that they should be sending, rather than playing on Obama's pandering turf, which violates our Constitution and the very concept of being American.
What does Mitt Romney need to do to defeat Barack Obama in November?
Well, you know, I write about a big theme in the book. The subtitle is The Happy Warrior's Guide to the Great American Comeback. And one of the things I wanted to get across here is not, you know, so many Americans are Debbie Downers these days, and rightfully so, right? The economy stinks, no economic growth happening, high unemployment, socialized medicine. I mean, the list goes on and on. Record-breaking deficits and debt. People are depressed. And when I wrote this book, I said, oh, hell no. We are not going to sit back and just take this. We're not going to sit back and let America be turned into an also-ran country, right? Just another country on the UN roster, equivalent to Ethiopia or something. We're going to stand up and fight back, but the question is how we're going to do it. And this is my advice to Governor Romney. In order to be Barack Obama, you got to do something that he essentially did in 2008, but which he can no longer do now. After 4 years of destructive, horrible governance, you got to run as a happy warrior. In Obama's case in 2008, he created a new template for the Democrat Party. He created a new Obama brand, which smashed the Clinton brand and then smashed the Republican brand. What we have to do now, and Governor Romney, I'm starting to see some signs of it because he does have my book in his hands, is he's starting to say, let Obama get mired in the muck of politics. I'm going to sit above it. Not unlike what Obama did in 08. I'm going to sit above it. I'm going to be transcendent guy. And I'm going to talk about the big themes about how we bring America back. Pro-growth economically. Strong militarily. Diplomatically strong. Strong cultural appeal. In other words, big America. As opposed to big government America, which is what Obama is all about. And if Romney does it with this happy warrior attitude that I write about in the book, I think he can actually win. Remember, Reagan had it in 1980. He was the happy warrior. And nobody loves Reagan more than I do, Michael. But Reagan served 30 years ago. And it's about time the Republican Party, Governor Romney, most of all, take Reagan's positive model, the positive embrace of conservatism, that joyful mission of bringing America back, and use it and run on that. And if he does that, coupled with his strong economic pro-growth message, he will win.
You talk a lot about how we can go about getting our country back. So how do we do it?
I actually wrote this book in about 5 months last year, and it damn near killed me, Michael. But I got it done, and I am so proud of it. Because it is, it's a serious blueprint of where we have been over the last couple of years. The question, what the bleep just happened, is the question every American has been asking since the fall of 2008, because this administration has hit us with so many pieces of leftist madness and insane social engineering in every part of our lives in the economy that every day we woke up and went, what now? What now? What are we going to get hit with now? What the bleep just happened? What we need to do now is answer that question, acknowledge what the bleep just happened, and then turn our focus to getting this country back. And so what I write about in the book is a game plan for how we do this. And the number one issue, of course, is we've got to deal Barack Obama and his fellow kooks, as I call them in the book, because, Michael, this is not your father's or grandfather's Democrat Party. This has been a complete takeover of the Democrats by the kooks. And in the book, I trace it to 1968, with that being the last totally pro-American Democrat presidential ticket in Humphrey Muskie. After that, the kooks take over the Democrat Party, and they have taken the country off the rails, particularly over the last 3.5 years. So what I argue in terms of the great American comeback, and it's not just a conservative comeback or a Republican comeback, although we certainly need that. This is an American comeback. And what I argue here is that, look, first up, it's a variation on the Hippocratic Oath, which I know you know very well. The Hippocratic Oath, first, do no harm. Our variation of this is going to be, the Happy Warriors variation, is going to be first, do no more harm. So number one is to elect Mitt Romney and Republicans straight down the line. Does it mean that Mitt Romney is the conservative dreamboat for whom we've all been pining? No. But he, I think, now is the right man at the right time for the job. We've got to get him in there to stop the hemorrhaging, to stop the constitutional abuse that we have been experiencing. And remember, Obama and the kooks moved so fast in these last 3.5 years to wrap the tentacles of redistributionism around every part of our economy, the industrial base, the healthcare sector, the financial sector, the energy sector. So we've got to move with dispatch, too, before those tentacles are so tightly bound that we can't unwind them. So number one is a full repudiation of Obama and the kooks and everything that they stand for. And then we've got to move on from that. And we've got to institute pro-growth economic reforms. That means tax reform. That means lowering tax rates across the board, lowering the corporate tax. Right now, it's the highest in the world. It's a disgrace. It means, obviously, rolling back Obamacare in toto if the Supreme Court upholds it over the next couple of days. It means rolling back all of the destructive EPA regulations that are crushing businesses. It means unleashing the private sector, getting government out of the way. And it also means a strong foreign policy. I've got a whole section in the book called Dr. Strange Leader about Barack Obama's selling out of America's primacy in the world. We've got to get our military built up again. We've got to get countries around the world respecting us and, yes, fearing us. And I lay it all out in the book, and it's a real game plan for how we get our groove back. Because you know what, Michael? I think Americans are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I think they're also sick and tired of being depressed and full of despair and thinking that their country is gone. The final thing I want to get across in this book, and this relates to the Happy Warrior, is that America can be saved. And she is worth saving.
Where can we read more?
Well, the book was just published today. Thank you for asking. And thank you for having me on the show on the first day of the book release. Again, it's called What the Bleep Just Happened? The Happy Warrior's Guide to the Great American Comeback. You can get it in every bookstore, the big booksellers, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, your local bookseller. If you support them, everybody has it online and in your bookstore. So please go get it. You won't be sorry. It's very funny, too, because my philosophy is, in the age of Obama, if we don't laugh, we cry. And there's no crying in a book by Monica Crowley. There should also be no crying in America these days. This book is going to have you on your feet and laughing out loud. So please go get it. And I appreciate this opportunity so much, Michael.
Monica Crowley, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Michael, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Again, the book is called What the Bleep Just Happened. And Michael, I know you're going to laugh because the book is really, really funny. And if I can get you laughing, I can get America laughing and we can help bring America back. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm really grateful.
This is The Savage Nation.
Savage.
WOR, Steve, go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, I have an idea for the live show that you want to do.
What is it?
You could you could come out with a band behind you and perform one of those heavy metal songs that you open the show with.
What do you mean, where I sing?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like a...
I'd pay to see that.
Well, I don't know if I could do that. What do you mean, I create one on the... I mean, I write a heavy metal song?
Pick one of the songs that you open up the show with and just do it live with a band behind you.
Yeah, but wait a minute. What song have I ever done on this show that was with a heavy metal back?
No.
I've done mock rap songs. I've done mock rap songs. Where, you know, like I've done the one I made up, I speak 50 words of English. That one, you've heard that one, haven't you?
Sure.
Yeah, that's a good one. But I don't remember ever doing one with a heavy metal band behind me. I speak 50 words of English. That's one of my favorite rap songs. I've done that one, but I guess that would be considered racist today if I did it. I guess anything that, you know, it depends upon whose ox is gored. It's like, you know, whose food they want to ban. It's like, okay, I don't like what you said. It's racist. I don't like what you eat. It's fattening. I don't like what you think. It's insulting. I don't like how you walk. It's aggressive. There's Napoleon Bloomberg for you. Maybe you could start banning people wearing certain kind of footwear. Reno, Nevada. Jason, you're on the Savage Nation.
I have some good ideas for your show, but I'd like to share with your audience, if I may, why I think you're prophetic.
Pathetic or prophetic?
Oh, prophetic, not
I'm
pathetic.
Joking. Okay.
I remember May 2001, and you were on the radio screaming at the top of your lungs that we are going to get invaded through our borders because of our lack of border protection. And sure enough, in September, what happened? Not many months later, and you were screaming at the top of your lungs.
Why don't you tell that to Eric Holder, who's making certain that as many illegal aliens as can come across the border for the election?
I just did, if he's listening.
It's unbelievable to me that we have a federal government that is suing states such as Florida that is simply trying to uphold the Constitution and the validity of the voting box. How could we have a government that is so criminal in its intent that it would sue a state that's trying to do what it's actually mandated to do? How could they not impeach Eric Holder for that alone? For encouraging voter fraud, Eric Holder should be impeached, and his director of the so-called Civil Rights Division should be arrested, in my opinion. Thanks for the call. But that's one man's opinion. One man's opinion, that's all it is. One man out of 300 and some odd million people see it that way. I'm sure others see it that way. Unfortunately, the Republicans are not too vocal about that. 1-800-449-8255, Savage Nation. Mark, New York, go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I think a great idea for your stage set would be a cooking show, and you could really do a lot with that.
Yeah, but that's impossible to do on it. That's impossible to do on a stage. I could do it on it. If I did a TV show, a cooking show, that would be a funny thing to do on a TV set. And I've talked about it, but if I give it out in detail, Glenn Beck would steal it. Since he has no original ideas, he has to listen to shows like mine in order to know what to say or do the next day. But thanks for the suggestion to Glenn. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.